Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, Episode 78, with Sarah Kornack and Beth Ann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Syra Pearl. Syra is an Amazon seller. In her first year selling on Amazon, which was only a partial year, in 2014, it wasn't even the entire year, she grossed $45,000 selling products on Amazon. Basically, what she does is she buys products from other retailers and then is able to resell them as a seller on Amazon and make a profit. Syra walks us through the entire process in this interview, with how she finds the products that she sells on Amazon to the process of becoming a seller on Amazon, plus all of the tips and tricks that she has learned along the way. And believe me, there are quite a few of those. Throughout the interview, we mention an article on Syra's website. Her website is momresource.com, and we will have the link to that, which is a great how to get started selling on Amazon article for you, in our show notes. So you'll be able to find that article in our show notes and go to her website to read that fantastic article that clearly outlines how she got started selling on Amazon. So I hope you're intrigued by this little intro. This is the first time we've interviewed an Amazon seller, and so we were really excited to learn everything that we could from Syra, and she really broke it down for us. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are pleased to welcome Syra Pearl. She started selling on Amazon in April of 2014 and managed to gross $45,000 in sales that first year. Syra is a mother of two girls. Welcome to the podcast, Syra.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I have a four-year-old and a four-month-old, so it was a busy year last year.
Oh, wow, definitely. So, Syra, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you got started selling on Amazon?
Sure. I had my four-year-old in 2010 in December, and we were living in London. I was working there, and then I went on maternity leave, which in Europe is very generous. You can take up to a year off work and still have a job. So I had planned to go back to work, but in the meantime, we moved to Paris for my husband's job. And so I kind of worked myself out of a job by leaving, and so I was trying to have another baby. That took a little bit longer than we had thought. And in the meantime, then we moved to Florida. So then I finally did get pregnant. So I know it's a long story, but I, in the meantime, was looking for ways to make money from home because I knew I was going to be pregnant and moving, and I wanted to still, you know, make some money and stay active mentally. I felt a little bit bored at home with the baby and being pregnant. So I was researching online, and I found, you know, a few podcasts talking about how to make money from home. And in 2013, I started a website. I kind of just jump in and see what happens. I started a website about bath toys, which is not the most lucrative topic that you might think of. And that evolved into talking about baby showers, because for some reason I thought people who are having baby showers should buy bath toys as gifts, and ended up getting a whole market of people talking about baby showers. And now I sell a digital product based on baby showers. And I just was trying different things, just experimenting. I got a second website. And yes, Amazon seemed like a good idea. I don't know why. I like to shop, and I like to, you know, join all the rewards programs and clip coupons and use Ebates. And so I just felt like I could save a lot of money when I bought the product. And looking online at how much things sold for on Amazon, I thought, well, that's easy. But you actually have to sell a lot or have a great markup to make money. So it was a little bit of an investment, but it was fun.
So what was that first product that you found where you said, I think I could sell this for a higher price on Amazon? What was that first thing?
I went to Costco, and I decided that would be a great place to start, but I am not alone in going to Costco. I think there are a lot of Amazon sellers who do the same thing, so it drives the price down quite a bit. in the early part, I'm glad I didn't spend a lot of money because it didn't pay off. I bought these packs of Sharpies and they didn't sell, and I have them in my closet here now. I had them sent back. But I decided I shouldn't focus on things that I thought other people would want to buy. I should focus on things that I knew. And I know how to buy toys for 3-year-old, 4-year-old girls. So I really ended up doing a lot of shopping for toys and clothes and shoes and dress-up costumes. And I knew what sizes to buy and what prices were good. I guess it wasn't, I can't think of one specific thing, but I decided to stick to what I knew. Walmart, Toys R Us, Kmart. That's worked out better.
That makes a lot of sense, that advice of sticking to what you know, and that's your life with little girls, so that fits perfectly. Do you have any tips on how you find those deals, any great resources that help you to find the lowest prices around you, or tips on like when you would know, okay, this is a good price, I should stock up on this?
In the beginning, I was walking around the store with a shopping cart and filling it up, and that was fun. But the scary thing is you can actually do a lot of it from home. I would buy on Walmart.com and sell on Amazon.com. And I got to know the FedEx driver because I would buy so much on Walmart.com, and the guy was coming every day with these big Walmart delivery boxes, and then the UPS guy would come pick them up to take them to Amazon. I don't know why it works, but it does. I mean, people don't want to wait for Walmart to deliver. People don't want to pay for shipping. And people who are used to shopping on Amazon prefer to shop on Amazon. So where it might be cheaper on Walmart, they would rather spend more and buy it on Amazon. So I was literally using the two websites to, I think they call it retail arbitrage. And then I always use eBay because, you know, you get cash back. So I got a few $100 cash back as well. And Kohl's has Kohl's Cash, all these sites, if you join their program, nothing to do with credit card, just the reward program, they pay you, and you're spending so much money on inventory that it pays off.
That's interesting that you can use all sorts of different systems to get to come up with this great way to make money strictly from home. So you found these great low price products, and the price was higher on the Amazon website than what you were paying for them. So what's the process to get registered as a seller on Amazon?
Amazon makes it so easy. They have a sell link on the top of, I think, every single page, which you wouldn't notice. They have all this information, but you literally just click on that sell link and you can sign up as either an individual or a professional seller. And it, you know, if you're going to sell more than 40 items in a month, you need to be a professional seller. The individual seller, they charge you on a per item basis for $1 an item, but the professional is $40 a month, but you can sell unlimited quantities. So it actually works out to be a much better deal. And it's pretty easy. They make it easy. There's so many sellers on Amazon. It's not a complicated process at all.
That's great to know. And you talked too about, you know, you would order off of Walmart and then ship it to the Amazon warehouse. Now, is there a certain process to get to be eligible for Amazon to ship your orders for you?
I think anyone can be eligible, but it depends on the product. I did have to invest a little bit of money in some office equipment, just basic stuff. You know, you need labels. So you print out the barcodes for your product, which Amazon generates when you enter them into their system. You don't enter in every single item you buy. Most of them have a standard listing that's already set up, and you just register as a seller of that product that already exists. And then it prints out UPC codes for you to put on your item so they don't accidentally send someone else's item, which, you know, may be damaged. So they send your item for your sale. And then cellophane plastic bags that say, warning, this is not a toy, it's a hazard. If you've got soft goods, soft toys that aren't boxed, or clothes or shoes, you need to have them packaged in that way. You can buy all of the materials on Amazon, and they're not expensive at all. So you just want to make sure you have them packaged properly. Amazon will allow you to send items that are not packaged properly, and they will charge you a fee. I can't remember how much it is for them to pack it up, you know, in a way that meets their standard. One thing I learned is at first I was buying one thing here, one thing there. And by the end, I was buying 80 dresses, you know, 100 packs of diapers. It became much easier to just load up one big box of all of the same product and send it off to Amazon rather than, you know, figuring out all of the onesie twosies that are in my box, label them. That got really, really confusing.
Okay, to make sure I understand everything that's going on, it sounds like a lot more details than I realized. So you find the product, you bought it in bulk, it got shipped to your house, the Walmart item. Then when you're logged into the Amazon portal, they give you what you need to print out, or they tell you how to package it appropriately. So you do that step with your UPC or the bag, and then that's when you put it back in another shipping box and you ship it to Amazon so that your item can be sold as an Amazon Prime item, and they do all the customer shipping for you.
That's right.
That's the gist of it. Okay. So does Amazon take a big cut since they're doing the shipping for you? Or I know you said the $40 a month, but is there an additional fee?
The rule, it's by item. So the general rule that people use is you want to make sure when you buy an item that you can sell it for 3 times more on Amazon, because you tend to spend a third of it on the item. Amazon will take a third of the final selling price, and you will make a third. So that's kind of how it balances out. But, yeah, depending on how much your item sells for, Amazon takes a cut. It varies depending on the item price. And the more expensive your item is, the less their cut is. So if you've got a $10 item, you know, they're taking a much bigger chunk than if you have a $100 item.
That's good to know. I'm curious, too, Syra, if you remember maybe that at first month you started selling on Amazon, how much you spent out of your own pocket to kind of get started, to build up that initial inventory?
Yeah, I think that is the scary part. In the beginning, I was trying not to invest too much money, probably, you know, $200 or $300 at Toys R Us, something like that. But you have to spend the money on the inventory to have the inventory to sell to make the money. So by the end, I was getting a little bit more bold in my spending and buying a lot more in terms of quantity. I bought 100 packs of frozen curtains for windows for girls' rooms. We were swimming in those for a while. And it does get scary when you're tying up money in inventory, but you don't have to at all. You don't have to start that way. It's just a learning curve, but you do get a little bit more bold as time goes on, which is dangerous. I have a closet full of Disney Frozen merchandise, which Amazon did not allow me to sell during the Christmas period. And so luckily I have 2 girls. So their friends are going to be getting nice Christmas presents for the next, you know, birthday presents for the next few years. But you do, you know, that can happen. So you definitely want to start small, figure out what you're doing and decide which areas you're good at, which areas you like. And you can always return them. You know, you can always return them to the store. I did stand in the Kmart return line once, and I returned 100 pairs of slippers. I didn't realize that I needed a special approval to sell shoes, and I didn't understand that I could apply for that. I thought it was just restricted, and I wasn't allowed. So the woman individually returned every single pair of Mickey Mouse slippers, so I felt a little bit bad for the people in line behind me, but you can't always take them back.
So what are these special rules and restrictions that Amazon has? You mentioned it with Frozen and then with the slippers. What is that?
There are some things that you can, you know, that are open to everybody. Toys and games is generally open to everybody. Clothing, food, those are restricted, where you can sell in those categories. You just have to go through an approval process for that individual category. And Amazon wants to make sure that you are, you know, not selling a knockoff item or an expired food product. It's just to protect their brand and their customers. So once you prove, you know, with receipts and things that it's a valid purchase, that you're, you know, legitimately trying to sell something, then they'll approve you. But they do make you jump through hoops, but the support staff are really helpful. And, you know, I had the same woman again and again emailing me, giving me advice on what I need to do to get approval and clothing. And I eventually did get approval. So it's good and bad. It's difficult, but that's great because it narrows down the market of sellers. So you have less competition. Frozen was a one-off. Frozen is specific category of its own within toys and games that Amazon decided they were going to sell themselves. So I don't blame them. It's their vehicle and they can do what they like.
I think you mentioned in a blog post that you did that I read that at one point you got denied for that special approval multiple times. And so that's when you kept going back and using their customer service to help get that approval.
Yeah, they're great. And they help you to get approval, but they do, you know, make sure that you adhere to Amazon's rules. So one of the rules is about the photographs of the clothes cannot be on hangers and has to be against a white background. So you have to go back and forth. They have a list of rules. So it's almost a hit and miss. I just send them a picture and then they would write me back and tell me what was wrong with it. And I try again. And if as long as you don't give up, and as long as you're selling a legitimate, you know, item, I had the receipts and everything and I had the items in stock. I mean, at one point, I think I had to actually buy my own UPC codes, which was a little bit scary, but they were $1 each. So I bought 10 of them. It wasn't that much of an investment, but I did have to add a UPC code to a product that didn't have one. I think it was a Disney product. They have their own labeling system. But, you know, you learn as you go. And, you know, I had inventory sitting around here that I was definitely going to sell it. I just had to go through the hoops to get it listed. And that ended up being my biggest winner last year with these Sophia princess dresses for Halloween. And I had timed it just right in the end. So you just have to keep with it.
So I think we've touched on this question a little bit, but maybe just to clarify, most of the time, you mentioned taking pictures of an item, but most of the time, I believe from that article I read, you are just selling something that is already a listing on Amazon, so you're not, or maybe not, it's a listing, but it's not sold by Amazon, so that makes it easier to sell those items. Is that right?
That's what I was recommending in the beginning. Start with items that are already in the Amazon database. And there's so many. Amazon is bigger than Walmart in terms of their volume and what they offer. So I would not start by finding an obscure book or toy and try to list it. Start with an easy item that you find in the catalog that you know you can buy for a third of the price and sell it, you know, for three times more. And then all you simply do is become a seller of that item. And you probably wouldn't even notice, but on every page of every item, there is that yellow add to cart button. And underneath, there's a whole list that says other sellers on Amazon. And they are all competing to sell you the same product. And I was just one of those other sellers. Sometimes you get featured on that main page where you get the yellow add to cart button, which they call it the buy box. So if you get the buy box, you're golden because people don't even usually look at other sellers on Amazon. So that's where you're kind of competing on price. You're kind of competing on your customer reviews, depending on how many other competitors you have. Price isn't always the only indicator, but definitely one of the drivers. What you don't want to do is compete against Amazon. You can see where it says sold by, and then it'll have the name of the store. So for me, it was sold by Mom Resource, and then it says fulfilled by Amazon. So that means they're sending my product. But if it says sold by Amazon, don't go anywhere near it because you will never beat Amazon on price. That being said, I did learn the hard way a couple of times where Amazon came in and started competing against me on a product I had already bought and I was already stocking. They tend to come and go when it's seasonal, you know, when it's in their best interest, when the volume is high. And so they will sell out on their end and then continue selling the products that I had sent after they've sold out and they want to put their money elsewhere. I know we started off talking about something else, but now I'm on the Amazon page and explaining how that all works.
So you're one of those people where on a lot of listings, click to see other sellers, new, used, like you're one of those people then.
That's right. Yep. We all share the same listing.
Got it. But I was curious too, the yellow buy button. So they cycle through those sellers and one seller at a time is like the automatic person?
It's a mystery. It's kind of like the Google algorithm. No one knows the exact rules. I've actually found out it doesn't pay to be the actual lowest price seller. If you're a few cents above, for some reason, a lot of times it doesn't do the lowest, it does second lowest. I have no idea why. But price isn't the only factor. You know, you have to have a good customer service rating, which means people don't send products back and give you, you know, nice 5-star review, which is easy to do, you know, as long as you're a legitimate seller. Everything should be fine, and you know, you shouldn't have a problem with that. I had one time where a listing actually changed on me briefly. It was a swim pack with, I think, 24 diapers in it, but somehow it changed to 12, and I couldn't change the product. I had already sent it in, and so I had to just profusely apologize to the people who accidentally got it and go back to Amazon, and they fixed it. There are certain things that are out of your control, which, you know, is again another risk, but for the most part, you're selling to other people who are buying on Amazon, and you just communicate with them and say, hey, can I offer you a refund, send it back, and then they'll be happy with the service they got. It's all about the service.
So in terms of getting found when someone searches on Amazon, it sounds like this is quite a bit different from traditional SEO because, like you said, you're sharing that listing oftentimes with someone else. So in that case, does that mean that there's really, like you said, it's really just kind of a gamble and there's nothing you can do to improve your ability to get found on Amazon search?
They do offer paid per click advertising, which I have done a little bit of. You can do that. So basically you appear first, or, you know, Amazon gets paid too because you're paying to advertise with them. So yeah, I've done a little bit of that, but I never like to spend too much money advertising. But yeah, I mean, you try to sell products that there's not a lot of existing competition, or products that sell really quickly. I invested a lot. My biggest purchase was in swim diapers, and it was last summer, but I kind of missed the peak season. I thought people would continue going on vacation in August and buying swim diapers, but it actually ended a little bit earlier. So as sales slowed down, even though there's a lot of competition in that specific product, there were so many sales that it was okay. I mean, people were running out of stock so fast. There were so many sales a day. But as it slowed down towards the summer months, then I got stuck with quite a bit of inventory until it picked back up in December. So there's another specific thing you can look at. It's on the Amazon page. It's called product rank. There's an Amazon rank. It's under product description, and it gives you the number in that category. So if you're number one, number two, number three in that category of swim diapers, that means of all the swim diapers sold on Amazon, this specific product is the most popular, and you know sales are going to be huge. If you're looking at a product that's hundreds of thousands, they may only sell once a day or once every other day. So the turnover is another factor into which product you should choose, even if there's a lot of competition. You know, you guys are going to sell really fast. But no, you cannot. There's no way to guarantee your own sales. At one point, I was selling a bar of soap. I found this Johnson's bar of soap. It's a baby specific soap, and it was 97 cents. And I was selling it for $8. So I thought, hey, this is crazy. I bought all the stock that I could find in a few different stores. And by the time I sent my inventory back in, other people were also selling the same bar of soap. So my margin went pretty quickly, and there's nothing you can do about it. Even if time you think it's just me, other people are going to clock it and they're going to join in. That's where selling in a restricted category becomes more attractive.
I liked your thoughts on something with low competition and restricted categories. That makes a lot of sense. And then, but like you said too, things can change in any minute because Amazon is huge and there are so many sellers. like what happened with you in the soap is, you know, a bunch of sellers can get on board and your profit margin gets diluted. So yeah, that's really interesting to learn about.
It reminds me of when you're doing keyword research on Google for like a blog, and sometimes those long tail keywords are good because there's low competition. But then, of course, if nobody is searching for that, that's not good either. But sometimes if it's a really often searched for keyword, then you have lots of people looking for it, but then there's more competition with other bloggers. So it reminds me of that whole dilemma in the keyword realm.
Yeah, or like Walmart, you know, they sell so much, but their margin is so low. So do you want to sell a lot of swim diapers for a really small markup, or do you want to sell fewer princess dresses for a bigger markup? I mean, you have to kind of decide, and having a mix of both is probably a good idea. And if you sell out of things really quickly and have a low markup, well, you've got to restock. So is that something you want to do regularly? You know, you have to decide how much turnover you want to have. If you want to sell it slower and earn a larger profit, and you can do it either way.
So I was looking at your post, and it said that in 2014, you sold almost 2,000 units on Amazon. That is so much. How many different products do you think that was spread out between? I know this was your first year, so I'm sure you were experimenting a lot.
I was surprised by that number, too. And my husband was surprised, but we did have inventory taking over our house for a while. And some products on Walmart, which is where I started really doing my bulk buying, some products restrict how many you're allowed to buy, and some don't. So, you know, 100 duvets, 100 packs of sheets, 100 window treatments, and then my big one was the 500 swim diapers, which I did only once. But how many different, I mean, some things were small, you know, bracelets or little toys, My Little Ponies, and I would, it's hard to say, maybe 200?
How much time do you think that you have to invest to keep up with all of this? In an average week, how many hours do you think you have to put into your business?
It depends how long you want inventory sitting around your house. I think I was pregnant last year. My daughter was born in October. So I had a push right at the end to get rid of the inventory. It was just making me crazy looking at all this junk in the house. So I think my mom was here getting ready for the birth, and I had her packaging things and putting them in boxes. And I did get my husband involved. I did try to take advantage of any free labor I could find. It's as much as, or as little as you want. I mean, it's really, the shopping part is easy. You know, if you're going to do it online, if you're going to go to the store, that's a little bit more of an investment. Then the inventory part, a lot of it's staying organized on the computer in the Amazon system, printing the labels, putting the labels on the items, then packing them in the boxes and either driving to UPS or, you know, in the end, when I was heavily pregnant, the UPS guy, you can spend 10 bucks a week and they'll come to your door and pick up. If you're doing in bulk, it's actually pretty easy. Once the inventory leaves your house, then you just manage it on the Amazon database and you can change the price as much or as little as you like. And that's fun. I mean, you can do it from your phone. And given working in a part-time job where you have to get up and get ready and go to work and sit in an office or in a store, I think it's pretty easy. You can just do it whenever you want. And I don't think it didn't really feel like a big investment of time for me. It was more the investment of money, put it that way.
That's encouraging to hear, because I think what really interests me about this business model for stay-at-home moms is the fact that you can get started. You do have to, you know, you obviously put in some upfront cash, but in terms of time and being able to earn an income more immediately, it seems better in that way than, say, blogging or an Etsy shop, where it seems like you could just put in 100 hours a week and you still won't make money, most likely for several months or a year or something along those lines potentially. So I think that it is a really interesting and unique way to make a living at home.
That's definitely true. I'm kind of doing it backwards. I've got a website now where I am trying to talk more about how to make money online, interviewing other moms who are doing the same thing and how, you know, looking at how they're making money online, but I'm not making any money through that. And now my inventory is pretty much gone at Amazon. Christmas is crazy. I mean, Christmas, people lose their minds and they just start buying everything that's in Amazon. And when my daughter was born in October, I stopped shipping into Amazon. I just said, let's ride it out and see what happens, see how it goes. And I've got a few things left, but I've pretty much sold out. And now, yeah, I'm not making any money. So I just bought a bunch of clearance Christmas pajamas. They're, you know, the retailer is dumping them because they don't want Christmas pajamas on their shelves. And I'm going to start hanging on to stuff for next Christmas. Even if you just sell for a couple months on Amazon, I think it's worth it. It's definitely a better return for your investment of your money than you will get anywhere else. It's not all wins. There were a few scary moments when I thought, oh my gosh, I've just spent all this money and I'm going to get stuck with all this inventory. But in the end, it's all worked out and it's been really fun.
You mentioned Christmas there, and I saw on your website that you do have to start selling on Amazon prior to the Christmas season, or else they won't let you sell during the Christmas season. Is that right?
Yeah, I think there were other people, you know, previous years who were just jumping in for the Christmas lift. And so Amazon decided that wasn't good for their, I guess, you know, for their reputation. If you're selling some kind of knockoffs or whatever, you can just disappear after Christmas and say sorry. So they want to make sure that the sellers have a little bit of history with Amazon and a good rating established with the buyers prior to the Christmas period.
So, Syra, is it possible to sell on Amazon and make a decent profit without sending all of your products into Amazon to ship?
You definitely can. You lose the fulfilled by Amazon tag, so you don't become eligible for the Prime member benefits, but you know, there's other benefits. Let's say last summer, towards the end of the summer, I was finding a lot of back to school supplies. Who knew that teenage girls decorated their lockers with these chandeliers and these carpets and these magnets and all these crazy things? And Toys R Us was trying to get them all off the shelves and just slashing, you know, all those prices. And I was buying them all up. But if I was, in order to make the back to school rush, I would not have had time to process them at my house, mail them into Amazon, wait for Amazon to receive them. So you can sell them as a merchant and you can either charge shipping costs or you can say the free shipping and just build that into the price. I think Amazon tends to show preference to people who sell from the warehouses with the Fulfilled by Amazon stock. They can charge you more money because they can say they processed it. But for certain times when you want to get the inventory in and out quickly, you can definitely send it directly to the seller yourself. Sorry, to the buyer.
Did you use a program to help you print shipping labels and things like that?
Amazon makes all of that really easy. Yeah, you just put in what kind of labels you have. And I mean, I can even put a link in for the supplies that I use in case anybody wants. There's different sizes of the cellophane bags or the labels. But I really didn't have to invest a whole lot into equipment, and it's pretty straightforward.
Okay, so it's just all right in the Amazon program that they have the address and you just hit print on the label to send to the customer. Okay.
You just put one in the box, put one on the outside, and you can choose whether you want to send it by FedEx or UPS. The best option is always the U.S. Postal Service if, you know, your box dimensions are within their standard sizes. But, you know, you get to choose then how you want to fulfill the item. And for onesie twosies, it's great. For, you know, bulk, it's better just send it in, let Amazon deal with it. That's what I thought.
What is their turnaround processing time on the Amazon end when you send in a huge bulk package? You said that takes them a little bit of time.
It does. I think it probably allow for 2 weeks. It depends where you're sending it. They have different warehouses all over the country, and they do try to have you send it somewhere that's relatively comfortable for you, but if you're one of the few sellers in the country for a certain item, they might have you send it across the country. But that's also where buying in bulk helps, because then you just tell them, I have 10 boxes and each box has 10 in it, and they might have you send 2 here, 2 there, 6 here. So that way, when you're doing onesie twosies in within mixed boxes, then you have to figure out which items are in which boxes going to which warehouse, and that can get a little bit confusing. But it's generally, I would say generally 2 weeks. It can be more if it's to a further warehouse.
I also noticed, and I keep referring back to that article of yours because it's very good, and we will certainly link to it in the show notes, but you mentioned a website in there, Camel, Camel, Camel. Can you tell us about what that website does?
I mean, really, you take a product that you're looking at on Amazon, you copy the URL, you go over to Camel, 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 and you paste it in, and they give you the idea of what the item has sold for over a period of time, you know, because the price tends to fluctuate based on whether Amazon is competing as a seller, the peak seasons, how many other sellers. So it just gives you an idea. Maybe you're looking at a product and you say, wow, I can make $100. But for some reason, that was just a blip. And usually it sells for $20. So at least this website gives you an idea over time of how much the item has sold for. So you get a little bit more information rather than just making a decision based on what it looks like right now.
Good.
It's been a great return. I mean, especially when you talk about blogging and how much time and energy you put into that before you ever see anything. This has been pretty easy. My husband likes it because it's a product. I'm selling something. It's not my product, but I'm helping somebody who can't find the product because they don't live near a Walmart and they can buy it online, and or they're shipping it, you know, across the country to their neighbor or their friend, or in, you know, as a Christmas present. And there's all kinds of reasons that people use Amazon, and so I'm just helping them find, you know, the products that they need and getting paid for it. And if you like to shop, if you're a good shopper, then this is a good place to be, because it's all about finding a good deal and spending as little as you can on the item, and, you know, buying it in the off season and hanging on to it and then being there ready to jump when it picks up again. So it's fun.
So how do you think this business has impacted or helped your family? How has this helped?
I really appreciate being able to work from home. I love that I don't have to get up and commute and, you know, miss out on picking my daughter up from after school or nursing my baby during the day. I mean, I love that I have my own freedom to work at my own pace. And it's that balance, because I would be a little bit bored. I was a little bit bored when I was home all the time. You know, I didn't want to give up that time with my kids, but I didn't want to just go to coffees every day. I was just kind of bored of that. So this gives me something to talk about when I go to the coffees. I think my friends are like, shut up already, but it's fun. And the moms I meet online are amazing. So I know my husband sees a happier me, and which is, you know, that's great for everybody in my house. So
that's wonderful. So Syra, can you tell us a little bit about what you're up to with your newest website, which is momresource.com?
It's a website for moms who are looking into making money online, making money from home, featuring other moms who are doing the same thing. I mean, I know there's a lot more resources now than there were when I started 2 years ago, just looking into it. And I just always felt like people were asking me, what are you doing? What are these things? How are you making money? What are these websites? And the general people that I talk to, no one has a clue that you can make money online. So my goal is to just feature other moms who are making money in whatever way they're doing it from home, and share their stories, and then hopefully inspire other moms who are working and don't want to miss out on their family time, want to work from home, want to earn a little extra cash, want to go back to work, but don't want to go back full time. I mean, just showing what the options are out there. And it's so fun meeting all these really cool, interesting moms and learning from them. Now, they give me ideas every day and inspire me to do really cool things.
Excellent. Doesn't it feel sometimes like there's this mini mom revolution going on? Not really revolution, but I can't think of a better word, where like moms are taking over the world now. We're working from home and spending time with our kids and our family, and like we're just doing it all and making money, and I think it's awesome.
And we're so passionate. I just love it. I think it's just so fun and interesting, and everybody's doing it their own different way, and some people have been doing it for a long time, and some people are new, and there's so many different interesting avenues, and I think it's the passion. I think it's that's what motivates us. I mean, there's a lot of men and dads and women, but moms somehow have this network, this common, you know, connection, and they're so supportive. That has been amazing. Don't you think?
Oh, definitely. I think Sarah and I had no idea when we started the podcast how quickly we would feel like we were such good friends with so many women who started listening to the podcast or women that we interviewed. And I mean, it was crazy. Like it just, yeah, the connection just seems to come so much easier. You know, you have those similar goals and interests, and it's been so much fun.
And you know, I think there's that need to support each other. I mean, I'm happy that you guys are doing well, and you guys are happy that I'm doing well. And
yes. And
so we're not trying to compete. We're trying to help each other succeed, which is amazing.
Yeah. And I think that is a difference, too, between moms and maybe other groups online. I think we're not as cutthroat. We're just rooting for each other's success.
As we wrap up today, Syra, could you share with us a funny or adorable mom moment that you've had lately?
I've thought about this because I know you guys ask this all the time. And I don't know if you've watched the Oscars, but I feel a little bit Patricia Arquette coming on. Like, this is my moment to make a political statement. I am just happy to spend time at home with my kids during the day. And I love that working online gives me the ability to do both. I mean, the adorable moments with my four-month-old are never ending, and I just appreciate that I can capture all of it and live it and not feel like I have to go back to work, especially in the U.S. where maternity leave is kind of a joke. So I love that I can work and be there and see all those moments.
It's wonderful. The time is flying by so quickly. And I agree. I'm glad I can be there to soak it up on with my family and kids as well.
So, Syra, one more time, can you share with everyone the best place to find you online?
Sure. You can find me at momresource.com. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook, but my website is my baby at the moment. And I have, like you said, my blog article there about how I sold online and I'm continuing to buy and sell online throughout the year. But you know, anything you guys want to know, feel free to reach me there, sign up, comment. I would love to hear from anybody. Definitely. Thank you.
Thank you. This was so much fun.
I hope this episode got some wheels spinning for some of you women who are maybe still in that searching for something to do from home stage of starting your business. And hopefully this episode might have given you some ideas to ponder about a possibility of becoming an Amazon seller. Don't forget to check out the show notes, brilliantbusinessmoms.com/78, and we will definitely link to that post we were referring to on Syra's website. And I also wanted to mention that on her website, momresource.com, she has a weekly link party. And unlike some link parties that have to be DIY or kid craft, her link party is just for any mom blogger of any genre. So if you have an unusual niche for your blog and that was making it hard for you to join in on any link parties, Syra's link party would be open to you as long as you are a mom blogger. So you might want to check that out as well. We are so glad that you took the time to listen to this episode today. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.